Amen. Good to be with you, church. Let me go ahead and start off with a joke. So this one you may have heard, but a husband and wife were going through, just a rough time, and the wife got caught stealing a can of beans, and so she had to go before the judge. And the judge said, "Ma'am, how many beans were in that can?" And she said, "Your Honor, there were 6 beans." He says, "Ma'am, I'm going to give you 6 days in jail to serve your time." Well, out of the back of the courtroom, "Your Honor, Your Honor," the husband spoke up. He said, "She not only stole that, she stole a sack of rice." Send her away. So I could kid about that, but so me and Audrey, she just said, "Don't say nothing about us," but I got to. Me and Audrey celebrated our 22nd anniversary yesterday. Man. Look, it's I believe in mercy over judgment. Sometimes at home we want to be the judge, right? Are we going to be the forgiver? You know what? Are we going to walk in God's kind of love where it doesn't count up, it doesn't add up all the mistakes and said, I saw that. You know what I mean? Let mercy reign in your marriage. Amen? It's good to give mercy. Because look, every day we are freely given mercy. Shouldn't we freely give it out, right? Look, it's something that I even pray over as being a dad. I like, "Lord, I know you're super merciful with me, but when do you want me to show mercy to my kids? You know, I'm ready to strangle them." But sometimes it's like, all right, give them mercy. Or sometimes it's all right, just instruct them. And then sometimes discipline. There is consequences, you know. You're getting a whooping, BB. But many times God is in the middle of that. I got to give a little story. Back years ago, Luke was little bitty. He wasn't 8 or 9. And so he was in there playing the Xbox. Well, he had the code to download that would access my credit card. And so I'm looking at my emails and I'm like, that's $50, $100, over $300. And he thought it was play money. This is Monopoly. You know? He was buying something on Roblox or one of the games. And I'm just like, I was ready just to strangle him. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so, I'm kind of freaking out, like, oh goodness. So what did I do? I called Xbox, Microsoft, or whatever, got somebody on the phone, and they gave me mercy. And so, and the Lord was like, "Are you going to give him mercy?" I'm like, oh man. So that kind of thing. You see what I'm saying? Give mercy. Amen. We need mercy in all of our relationships. Amen. Let's go. Would you go to the Hebrews 10:38? I'm going to go kind of quick when we start getting to these scriptures, but God has been dealing with me about just simple faith, getting back to simple faith. And then you'll recognize this scripture in what we are told about the just shall live by faith, you know. And when I came back to the Lord, when I was a senior in high school, yes, I grew up in church. Yes, I experienced the presence of God. The word of God was sown in my heart. But I really came back not knowing what this faith was really about. How do I operate in it? What does it really mean? The only thing I could relate it to was trust. And that's what I just started gathering. But as you know, the more that you hear and hear and hear, what is your faith? Your faith is increased. We hear by the word of God, and it grows, it increases. So the Lord has just been dealing with me, and I think with all of us, this is the life that we're supposed to live. And then sometimes it just doesn't seem obtainable, but the just shall live by faith. I'm going to read off the wall some, if you don't mind. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Well, that sounds rough. But yeah, I'll go ahead and read the next verse. But we are not of them who draw back. I like that. Us believers, we're not like that. We don't draw back. We don't draw back. We move forward. That's what faith does. It moves forward. It moves towards him. So the just shall live by faith. So anybody in here, I've been called a lot of things, right? Accused of a lot of things, but I've never really been called the just, right? So we are the just. What does that mean? We've been justified. Or it's like one way it said, just if I never. So there's a truth here that God is saying, hey, I have justified you. I have made you just. So now you can live in this faith. So this scripture, would you go to Romans 5:1? So we've been justified. I love this in the Amplified. Anybody love the Amplified? Amen. I love it too. They said though a woman wrote it. And I believe it. I would get a big amen from Rick if he was here. Or Alan and Dolly, you know. I've experienced the amplification of many times. So Amplified version. Therefore, Romans 4 is talking about Abraham. He was justified because he believed. What is this? Therefore, since we are justified, I love these are legal terms, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through this faith. Through this faith. And then it gets even better. Let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. We now, through faith, we have peace with God. Isn't that what the world does not think? Don't they? The good news, you can have peace with God through Jesus. People all over the earth think God is mad. They still look at the Old Testament. They still, oh, he's going to get you. You know, you do one thing wrong, one thing slip up, lever to hell, you know. So, but the peace with God. We have this kind of faith or this justification. We are now called the just. Say, I'm the just. I've been justified, right? Because of this faith, because of Jesus, all that he's done. And I think, you know, when I came back to the Lord, it was just learning really who I was in Christ and what has been provided to us. This redemptive package, this like benefits package that you get this new job. There's this great package that many of us may not even know or experience. We're living below our rights and privileges in so many ways. You know what? But God doesn't want that. He wants you to live by faith. And you can do it. Amen? So back to verse 39, 10:39, if you would. Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for helping. So, but again, like we draw back, there's a simple principle, y'all. The simplest principle is, what does God say? Draw nigh or draw near to me, and I'll draw nigh or near to you. It's like he's doing everything in the world communicating to you. But he's saying, you got to make the first step. You got to come to me. And so Pastor Terry, several weeks ago, she taught on Moses. And Moses, yes, he saw the burning bush, but he chose, he responded by faith. He turned aside. And it wasn't until he turned aside or responded or moved towards the burning bush, then God spoke. It's the same kind of thing with us. This faith that we're talking about today, it moves. It moves, it steps out, it goes into the direction where God has promised. Amen? So, Hebrews 11:1. This is the good old King James. So, the very first few words. Now faith is. You could just start right there. Now faith is. And that is, that's faith is in the now. It's right here in the nasty now and now sometimes. It's right here in the middle of whatever you're going through. That's where faith has to be activated or released or moved into, is right here in the now. Not maybe one day or this or that. No, it has to be in the now. So when we talk about faith, this is not only a description or let's say a meaning or the definition of faith. It is also what faith does. Amen? Say this with me. I'm not a hearer only. I'm a doer. I'm a doer of the word. Amen? You said it. So this whole chapter, you know, we call this the heroes of faith, the great cloud of witnesses. This whole chapter is our heroes, right? It's our heroes who we look up to. And this is the kind of the faith that they walked in. It's not only the meaning of faith, but it's what faith does. These are our heroes. It shows faith does, and it's active. It responds, even though you're not seeing a thing in these sense realm, right? It's contrary to all of your senses, your sight, your hearing, your feeling, your smelling, all of that is not getting nothing, but I'm seeing something past these eyes. I'm seeing into the unseen, right? So faith and hope together. Faith moved towards what hope or confident expectations. The word hope is so watered down in our regular worldly way, right? Like my brother, he's funny. He said, I'm just hoping the Lord will give me those lucky numbers. I'm like, come on, man. Like, yeah, right. You know? So our hope that what people talk about hope. I'm hoping that the Dallas Cowboys, it's their year. Or the, oh, I won't go there. My buddy over there, you watch it. We have a different kind of hope, not the kind of the hope that the world has. We have a confident expectation. That's the kind of hope that we have in God. Expectation, this kind of hope that God has, it sees in the unseen. The word, I love this, the word, the promises of God will paint powerful pictures of victory. It will fill your spirit with pictures of receiving the things you hope for, you earnestly desire, and you expect. Your eyes of faith, the eyes of your hope, expectation, see in the spirit, it's like the blueprint. It's like you are seeing something in the spirit before you will see it with these natural eyes. You know what? Let me go to, just trying to paint a picture of what faith and hope does. It sees into the unseen. It sees his promises. It sees them coming into our life, right? So I just want to show you that faith is active. Faith is in motion. Faith is moving forward. Faith is active. So would you go to, Hebrews? I'm going to read just these very first few little words off of the Amplified version of verse 4 and several others. I love this. We know all through this chapter where it says by faith. But I love how the Amplified says prompted, actuated, actuator. Have you ever heard of that? Prompted is a verb. It moves to action. Actuate puts into motion. So this kind of faith, this kind of knowing, this kind of seeing into the unseen prompts you, activates you, and puts you in motion. That's when faith is alive. That's when it pleases God. When you ain't seeing nothing with these senses and you're saying, I'm moving towards you, God. I'm trusting you. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to receive it. So prompted, actuated by faith, Abel brought. One day I was reading the chapter 11, and the Lord just said, go look at all the verbs. Like, oh, you know, faith in action. Just looking at the simple verbs, you can go out through this whole chapter and you can see Abel brought, Abel offered. You could talk, you see Moses did this. Abraham did this. Abraham moved not knowing where he was even going. You know what? So here's a few more. We're going to go through them real quick. Because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven. I could just imagine, because faith speaks, Enoch, he's one dude. If you can meet anybody kind of in the Bible, he's one of the dudes I'd love to meet. Can you imagine telling his wife or his kids, one day I ain't coming home. I'm going with you. And I think the Lord liked that. You know what? He's like, come on, you gonna go with me. And he was and he was not. He was translated with them. The next one, prompted by faith, Noah. We just watched a whole little documentary on Noah. And this is amazing to me, where he could see into the unseen. God so persuaded him that his promise that he would spend 100 years building this thing. And he would even do something not ever even seen, rain. And it's just amazing. Look what it says. Prompted by faith, Noah being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign. Isn't that faith? That is faith. You know, and I think it's even a greater witness that his boys were helping him. His family was helping him. You know what I mean? I think that's, you know, it just, to me, it's like, wow. Like, Dad, what are you talking about? You want us to build a boat? What is that? You know? And, but I love that. Which is yet there was no visible sign. Next one. Urged on. Does faith urge you on sometimes? When you're weary and you don't like, I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But faith, that vision, that seeing on the inside urges you on. And it helps you endure. It helps you endure with patience. Like, you know what? I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. Amen? By faith. Urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. You know, that simple action, that simple movement is usually just a simple obedience. What did he do? He was called, he obeyed, and went forth to a place which he was not destined to receive as an inheritance. He went, although he did not know or trouble his mind, oh my goodness, about where he was to go. Isn't that usually trouble our mind? Our senses, our reasoning, you know? All right, next one. Because of faith, also Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child. Amen? I love that. Faith caused to receive physical power to receive a child. Next one. With eyes, I love that one. With eyes of faith, Isaac, looking far into the future, invoked blessings upon Jacob and Esau. With eyes of faith. Amen? Anybody need eyes of faith? Yeah, not just these natural eyes. They will lie to you all the time. All right, then the next one, we're going quick. Motivated, there's another one. Urged, motivated, prompted, actuated. All these things by faith. Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him. Being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king. This is awesome, Moses. The next one. Here's getting back to this simple truth. By faith, simple trust and confidence in God, he instituted and carried out the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost. Sometimes we're involved in things that we don't fully understand. What is all this about? But he has a greater plan. His ways are so much higher. He's got a plan of redemption where sometimes I don't know why I'm doing all this, but I'm motivated to do it by faith. Amen? So you keep moving forward. Urged on by faith, people crossed the Red Sea as though on dry land. And then the Egyptians, the army was swallowed up. Amen? The next one. Because of the faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encompassed for 7 days by faith. And watch, they stood there, they shouted with a voice of victory, and the walls were crushed, stepped down, however you want to say it, they fell down. So the next one, and this is where I want to get to. So prompted by faith, Rahab. You know, I've read this, like I said, many times. And I think, how is Rahab in the heroes of faith? When it still goes back to her identity from the past. And I love the story of Rahab. There's so much in it. She's one of my heroes of faith. Because you can see God's redeeming, transforming power to take somebody from this, from ashes, from sin, and make them something beautiful. And what's so wonderful about the end of her days, the latter is greater than the former, right? So much better. I love it because here's what the Lord just kind of showed me. Just because that's what I did does not mean that's who I am. When you get in Christ, that's who I am. It don't matter what happened when I did in that past. I've been crucified with Christ. Yes. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. Amen? So I love the story of Rahab. And you can look at her descendants. Yeah, Jesus. The great, great grandma of David was Rahab. Rahab and Solomon had Boaz. Boaz had Obed. Boaz and Ruth. Forgive me, you got to put Boaz and Ruth. Yes, sorry. My Ruthie girl. And then Obed. And then who was next after Obed? Jesse. And you see, God could take somebody. I believe God so can transform your life that you could say what you used to be and people won't even believe you. You'll be so restored. So they're like, huh? No way. No way. You did that? Yeah, I did that. But that's not me. I've been redeemed. The blood has set me free. Amen. It still has power. Amen. Still redeeming us. Amen. So let's go over to, let's go look at her. Let's go look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to kind of skip around just a little bit because of time. I think I'm doing okay, actually. The story of Rahab. I mean, it's all intertwined into the story of Israel crossing the Jordan. You cannot separate the two. You look back, the Israelites, those were older, they fell in the wilderness. And those that were to come with Joshua and Caleb were to cross the Jordan, to take the land, to take the promised land, take it by faith. And so right there in Joshua 2, it's telling us how Joshua sent out two spies. You know, I was reading some commentary, which I think is kind of cool. One says two young men. The other one says, you know, this or that. But I love the commentary. It says, many of them believe one of the men that was sent out was Caleb. Because he believed the first time. And you know he's still believing. You know, it wasn't 45 years later until Caleb took his mountain. He said, give me my mountain. As the Moses, the man of God, had said, give me my mountain. I love that kind of faith. Amen? Even back in Numbers 12, he said, let's take it now. And then the children, the other spies, brought back what? An evil report. And they all died. They said, well, should we just die in the wilderness? And he said, be it so according to what you just said. Sad, sad. But here we go. Joshua. Moses has passed. Joshua's told to be strong and courageous. Joshua 2, verse 1. And she said, oh, yeah, thank you. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out the Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And so while they were there, the king of Jericho came and was wanting to take the Israelites. He had heard that the Israelites were there. So in the meantime, she said, I don't know what you're talking about. And so, but she had hidden them. And so if we pick back up in the next verse that I have there, in verse 9. So skipping ahead to verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given to you the land, and then that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And listen to the next verse. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. They heard all about all that the God of Israel was doing, had done. Next verse. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did they remain any more courage in any man because of you. Right here. For the Lord your God, he is. One day I was reading that. I was looking at Rahab. Those two little words. I want you to look at them. These two little words. He is. He is God. Now the chapter we just talked about in Hebrews 11, go to Hebrews 11, 6. It's in there. I promise you. Hebrews 11, 6. There you go. Remember what I just said? She said, the Lord your God, he is. What have we been learning about faith? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. When I was reading about Rahab, those two little words jumped off the page, connected right over here to Hebrews 11, 6. And faith was born in her. And she said, he is. She believed in this God of their God. I believe that right then in that point, she was saying, he's my God too. She had faith. He is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look, we know that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Say it with me. He is. So he is actively present. Y'all, it doesn't say he might. Come on. It doesn't say he will, maybe one day. Because a lot of times that's been my faith. I know he can, but I you know. So here's another one. It does not say he can. What does faith do in the now? It says he is. He is actively present in my now. Amen? So he is actively working in my now. So the first time back years ago, the first time I read this, my question was, he is what? Right? My simple brain says, will you bring it back up? He is. I read that. I said, must believe he is. Some translation says that he exists. But I want to say to you, he is, or the what, he is whatever you need him to be. He is all that. All of it. Amen? So look, we could boldly say in the now, he is right now, not maybe, not one day, not that. No, faith says he is now. What is he now? He is my provider. He is my shepherd. He is my redeemer. He is my peace. He is my protection. He is my portion. He is my promise. And he is my soon coming king. That's what faith says. Says it to the now. Because he is, because faith says it is now. Amen? Can anybody believe in there right now in the unseen, he is working on your working on it. He is right there working on it. Amen? You know, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, they didn't see what had happened to the roots. The next day they saw that it had dried up from the roots. He spoke and it touched the unseen. So when they came back the next day, hey, that's the fig tree Jesus was talking to. So there's an unseen. When you speak in faith and you say he is in the moment, in the now, in the nasty now, in the middle of all of this, he is working. I like to say this. When you start to say he is, you know, he's my provider. He is my peace. He is my soundness of mind. He hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. When you start saying these things, I like to think that the Father out of heaven says, I am. Don't you love that? I love that. You're saying he is my provision. He is my Jehovah Jireh. He says, I am. When you say his word, he can say, I am. And he will back up his word. What does he do? We preach this word because theory or philosophy that we could bring up doesn't mean a hill of beans. It's his word that he watches over. It's his word that he looks over to perform. It's his word that he confirms with signs and wonders following. So we have to preach the word. And when we speak his word saying that he is right now, he says, I am. Come on. That's a confident expectation that he is working on my behalf. Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I'm not even feeling it, but I know he's working on it. Amen? Amen. So there's Rahab in verse 11. She says, he is. I love that. You bring that back up? Joshua 2:11. For the Lord your God, he is in heaven above and earth beneath. Amen. She took him as his God. But I've often wondered what would make an outsider, an uncircumcised, outside of that, an enemy of Israel, what would make them to believe in this God? You know, it says their hearts melted, but she believed. It says he is. That's faith. She believed. So I've often wondered, how could she take this God of Israel? Look, we know she heard about the victories in the wilderness. We hear about how God destroyed the Amorites and the kings and all this kind of stuff. She knew God, that this God that of Israel is the true and living God, right? But this came to me by the Lord. So you think she also heard that God delivered them from slaves out of Egypt? And could she have said, I'm not only a slave to my sin, could this God save me? He's that good. He's that redeeming. He's that kind. So there was a faith or a hope inside of her. Could this God show me kindness? They were slaves. I am a slave to this sin. Willingly or unwillingly, people were put in those lives. They did not want to be there, right? People that are in sin, they know it's binding them. They know it's hurting them. They know it's horrible. But because she heard that God that would deliver these slaves, could he deliver me? I mean, I believe that faith was in her. She took him as her God. So look at the next verse. I'll just read a little bit. I have to touch on these. Verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. She's talking in the moment. All right, let's make a deal here. Since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Next verse. Behold, when we come into the land, this is the spies, maybe Caleb, maybe just the young men. When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. I know when I study this, it's the crimson scarlet thread that is all throughout the Word of God. And what is it pointing to? The blood. This blood still delivers us. What did it do? What did they say? Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. I think, do I have one more? No. So the scarlet thread, I had to touch on that. There again, we know that this blood, this scarlet thread that Jesus paid with his own blood is still our deliverance, is still our healing, still our forgiveness continually. Amen. Oh, I got to read this. So you have to look. Oh man, did I leave my phone? Is my phone over there? Oh, it's in my back pocket. Where's my glasses? They're on my head. So I love this about, you know, God's not looking for great faith. He said, if we have a faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you know, I look at this. Yeah, she lied. Did she? She lied to the kings and all that. I want to say this. Your faith may not be perfect or it may not even be great, but she had saving faith. This is from Spurgeon. I just thought this was beautiful about Rahab's faith. It's faith talking. I did encounter this abomination of iniquity. I delivered this woman from the loathsome chambers of vice, the wily snares of enchantment, and the fearful penalty of transgression. Yea, I brought her off saved and rescued, gave her purity of heart, and renewed in her the beauty of holiness. And now her name shall be recorded in the roll of my triumphs as a woman full of sin, yet saved by faith. Isn't that beautiful? These are our heroes of faith. Just a wretch that I've been. Not perfect faith, not great faith, but faith, saving faith. I'm telling you, he will save us to the uttermost. Amen. So now, what is one of our biggest enemies of faith? So she said that the spies leave. She made a deal right then and there in the now. What is our biggest enemy in faith, during faith? We're called to what? Walk from faith to faith, glory to glory. That's kind of what God wants us to have. He wants us to have victory after victory. But what happens is in the two, the T-O, it's between, right? It's in the middle. It's in the valley. It's what you're going through. It's, you know, like I said, the nasty now and now. So time. Time is can be the most lying enemy of faith. It's what you do in the middle. It's what you respond. It's what you say. It's when you have no feeling or you don't see nothing working, but then you say, he is working. He is touching my body. He is restoring me. He is giving me peace of mind, soundness of mind. He is doing those things in me. That's in the middle of time. This is where the devil loves to use time against us, right? What does he always come do? Look and see. Doesn't he say that? Look and see. He wants you to get to looking with your natural eyes. And we've all done it. We've all looked at our natural eyes like, yeah, it ain't working. Right? Because you're naturally saying, look and see. Look what it, you know. And I think about Rahab. And Rahab in her time. And I'm going to show you just a second how many days it could have been. But in her time, do you think the devil comes as a liar and says, how do you think you can? You're the outcast of the outcast. You're the worst. That God will not show you kindness. Right? Because he tells us the same kind of stuff. You're not worthy. You've missed it too many times. Your whole identity is of that. What makes thinks you can change? In the middle of all this, in the middle of our faith, the devil wants to lie. He is the father of lies. Right? He wants to lie to us and get us off of what we're seeing in our spirit or what we know God is doing in the now and get it on the senses of what we're seeing, what we're experiencing. It don't look like it's going to happen. I don't know. So if I did a little, forgive you, my calculations are wrong, which they could be. But from the time Rahab made that vow or that agreement with the children of Israel, the spies, it was 18 plus days. Can you imagine thinking, what's going to happen to me? Because what do you hear? As they went back, there was 3 days. The spies hid in the mountains. 1 to 2 days, the spies returned across Jordan. One day, they're crossing a Jordan, the camping of Gilgal. 4 days, the time of Passover. They took Passover. And then 3 plus days, I would like to say a whole lot more days, the time when they were sharpening their knives. Then when they circumcised the men that were not circumcised, the young men that had grown up, they did the circumcision. They had the Passover. So they had, it says they stayed in their camp until they were healed. You can get healed in your camp. That's a wonderful thing. But at least 3-4 days in that time. And all the men said, amen. Leave me alone. And then the next one. So they cross the Jordan. So and they hear. Can you imagine Jericho? She's up in the second story, corner loft or whatever you want to call it, and she hears that the Jordan was dried up all the way back to Adam. Amen. How when the priests with the ark, they put their feet into the water and it started to draw back. Amen. And you see all this time, but while all this is happening, yes, she could have been lied to. Yes, she could have given up. Yes, she could have said, there's no way. There's no hope for me. I'm too bad. I've messed up. There's no way I could be accepted. Could this God really show me kindness? So in all this time, I believe in the night, they crossed over into Gilgal. And can you imagine the night sky? You see the camp of Israel. And just, I think just the hope of rising that, hey, God just brought them through on dry ground. This God that I'm believing in, he's coming to me. He's getting closer. There, I believe hope just even more just arise in her heart. And I believe she probably had all of the family wearing a red hat, red shirt. Mom, I don't want to wear a red hat. You're putting it on. And you better be in this house when I tell you to be. So 7 days, there's 7 days of one time they would go around the Jericho, and they would day by day, and on the seventh day they went around 7 times, and on the last time, it says Joshua says, "Shout with a voice of victory, shout with a loud voice." And what happened? They shouted, and the walls come crumbling down, but her house was saved. I love it. Her house and even all of her household, they could have been scoundrels, but because of her faith, her whole household was saved. That's a good word for somebody. You can have a bunch of knucklehead kids and everybody, a husband, whatever, but because of your faith, you can save the whole house. Amen? So in that, I love, and I've read different versions of it, but I think it's in the voice. It makes it to a point where when they gathered Rahab and her family and brought her into the camp, I just saw a picture of, you know, when we get in Christ, we're accepted into the beloved. And even our past is hidden in Christ. I just believe she was just hidden and accepted into the Israel people. And she, in an heir of Jesus. I mean, just come on, you know? So it's amazing what God can do with just simple faith. I'm not saying great faith, not, you know, perfect faith, none of that. She had simple faith and said, he is. Amen? All right. So that is time. That time. How about us? We all go through time. And you know what? The Lord just kind of reminded me. Well, you don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise for everybody. Who's missed it in faith? I have. I have many, many times. But I like to say, like, because I'm a fisherman, the Lord said to me, just because you got bageled, you got skunk, you didn't catch nothing, doesn't mean you're going to not go fishing again. Right? He said, get back on the horse, you know, go out and go again. That's not going to stop me. Yeah, I've been on horrible trips. Didn't catch nothing. Actually, me and Audrey went out recently. We didn't catch nothing. I caught a stinking Gasper goo, a gaff top. I hate those things. And we got stopped by the game warden. He said, that's almost a negative. And I'm like, thanks. Anyway, that's not going to stop us from walking in faith. Because what? We've been justified. We've been made right. We've been acquitted. We've been to have righteous, right standing with him. So if we know that, we say, Lord, I want to live by faith. And look, all these people that we have talked about, pastor said it to our men's meetings, is that if they can do it, so can we. We can definitely do it because they were in an older covenant. We have a better covenant with better promises. We are not only born again, Jesus lives inside of us, but we have the dwelling Holy Spirit in us to guide us and to comfort us and counsel us and to show us and paint upon your heart what he is putting in your heart, the promises of God. So we can definitely do it, y'all. We can do it. We can live by faith. Any of us. So, okay. I'm gonna go quick. These two things I want y'all to leave with this. How to keep faith active. Can I just give you two little things? And it all comes from the father of faith, good old Abraham. These two little simple things. We know faith, it believes, right? We also know faith speaks, right? And we also know faith acts. You can look at that in Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood. She heard, she believed, she spoke when I touched the hem of his garment. And then what did she do? She acted in the nasty now. Don't you imagine? She was bleeding. She got on her hands and knees and went to the feet of Jesus. She was saying, he is. He's going to do it right now. And then what happened? She got it. She got it, amen? But so we know these things about faith. We know this. The pastor has taught us well. We have the same spirit of faith, right? I believe, therefore I speak, right? So I have to question myself sometimes. Am I really believing if I'm not speaking? Sometimes I'm up here talking a whole lot, but when I go home, I probably won't talk for 2 weeks. I just don't talk a whole lot. You know, I'm like my dad, you know. But that's been some of my fault. I don't speak enough. Or I don't, when there's believing and there's a vision or what I'm seeing in my spirit, what God's creating faith and hope and it's prompting me to do something, sometimes I haven't spoken like I should. Or when I believe, therefore, I will speak. So speak. It's not only important that you speak, but here's number one. Speak to the now. Speak in the now, right? It don't no good. Oh, maybe tomorrow I'll talk or some other time. I believe, therefore I speak. Abraham in Romans 4:17, you don't have to go there. We know the scripture. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. So the things that are be not are right here in the now, aren't they? Nothing's happening. I don't see it yet. The things that are not are in the now. What am I going to speak? He is. I need even my feelings in my body when I need healing. Yes, I may have symptoms. It may not be feeling great, but wait, he is. He is the Lord that healeth me. And he's doing something right now. He's working in my body, working in my mind, working in the unseen, touching the seen. Amen? So We have to call those things which be not as though they were. Call the things you desire into the now. Look, I love Abraham and Sarah, because I love Sarah too. She just laughed at God. He said, "You were laughing." She said, "No, I wasn't." He said, "Yeah, you were." But what did they start? God gave them a vision as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the shore. He gave them an internal vision to connect with their internal vision or hope that my descendants are going to be this. This is the promise that he has given to me. And then he even changed their names, both of them, where they begin to say Sarah, or she begins to say Abraham. What did they call each other? I'm sure they laughed at the first. That's what she was probably like. "You're going to call me mother of nations? I'm going to call you father of nations? What? You're old." There's no way. But what? It says they stagger not. And then what happened? They were fully persuaded by the promise that God was also able to perform. Amen. So number one, speak to the now. In the now, in the nasty now, speak his word. Speak he is doing something in your now. Amen. The second one, and then we'll close, confidently expect. Keep hope alive. Look, it's simple. You can confidently expect because you believe, right? You're fully persuaded of it. We believe his promises are true even when we don't see it. We are fully persuaded knowing he is able to perform it. So I could ask a question to all y'all. I know all y'all must, if you're saved, where are you going to be absent from the body? I'm going to be present with the Lord. Is that not a hope? Every one of us have that hope, right? It's going to be awesome. How about when he comes and gets his church? The trumpet sounds. They'll let you play, Bill. That's going to be awesome. The trumpet sounds and the twinkling of eye. He's going to capture us up, gather us up. Man, it's going to be, and we're going to have the reward seat of Christ. You know, when he talked about he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You, I, we're going to have rewards in heaven. And to me, I'm getting there. I'm happy enough, right? He let me in. But for him to give us crowns and rewards, precious stone, silver, it's amazing to me. All that is that he has for us. And it's all he is. Can you say that? He is. Amen. Now, if you cannot, I'm closing there. I hadn't done this. I think they're mostly our home crowd. But if you cannot say, he is my Savior. If you say, if I died right now, I don't know. I don't know. But you can. You know? And so I'm going to ask if everyone to bow their head. We just thank you, Lord. You are still saving, still touching lives, Lord. You're still redeeming us. We just thank you, Lord. If there's anybody in here that you want to make Jesus Lord, you want him to be your Savior. You might not understand everything we talked about, but simple faith that he is our Savior, that he is our deliverer. While everybody's heads are bowed, if you would lift your hand, I would love to pray with you. Just thank you, Lord. Is there anybody? We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody can lift their head, lift their eyes. Well, if we're all saved, don't we all expect? We just thank you, Lord. I just close the service and thank you that faith is increasing and growing in every one of our hearts, that you're prompting us, you're urging us, you're actuating, you're urging us to move forward into your promises, what the vision, the things that you have written on our heart, what you have painted in our heart, that we will obtain, Lord, because we know you are working right in the now. We just thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy. When we miss it, you give us mercy. And you say, go again. Don't draw back, but draw near unto him. Turn aside from all that the world and the distractions and go to him. We just thank you, Lord. Faith is rising up in each one of us, and we can live by faith as we've been justified. We've been declared righteous. We have right standing with you. We are like sons and daughters that you said, come boldly into the throne room of grace. Unashamed, we can come boldly, receive help, receive grace, receive mercy, Lord, at any moment, because you have given us right standing. You have justified us. We just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your protection right now, your protection upon us, Lord, that no evil shall befall us, nor any plague come near our dwelling place. We bless the house of God, these people, Lord. We bless your saints, their children, and their children's children, Lord, that your blessing is upon them, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for your word, your presence here today. Just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was awesome, Ben. I just want to say one thing as we close. Y'all can stand with together. As you look at how the Holy Spirit was just knitting a message together, you know, at first Rachel's singing about the name of Jesus, right? And then at the altar time, Ben is ministering to him about just that you can move forward and that God can heal that. And then he gets, I didn't know what he was going to preach. Then I have a word, you know, God can minister to us all on that way. And then he ministers on Rahab, right? We all have a chance in Christ. So y'all go and be blessed, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.